Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mike, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Tribhuwan Das Bhimji Zaveri Limited, organized by Dickenson World IR. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Ms. Pushpa Mani. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of TBZ Limited for the fourth quarter and year ended March 2022. Today on this call, the management of TBZ Limited will be represented by Ms. Binayisha Zaveri, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Saurabh Banerjee, Chief Financial Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind you all that remarks made today might include some forward-looking statements, and actual results may differ materially from those contemplated by forward-looking statements. Any statement made today on this call is based on our assumptions as of date, and we are under no obligation to update the statement as a result of new information or future events. I would now like to invite Ms. Binayisha Zaveri to make the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Tribhuwan Das Bhimji Zaveri Limited for the fourth quarter and financial year ended March 2022. Thank you for sparing your valuable time and joining us here today. The year gone by posed several challenges to the business due to COVID-related disruptions and geopolitical disturbances. Despite the challenging operational environment, TBZ registered YoY revenue growth while curtailing operating expenses. As restrictions eased and vaccinations permeated the vast population, there was a gradual return to normalcy. As a result, customer sentiments improved and there was a steady incline in footfalls at the store level. Pent-up demand for diamond jewelry, wedding purchases, and festival buying led to healthy conversion of the increased footfall. However, gold price increase, widespread lockdown, and the emerging Omicron variant resulted in customers deferring or reducing their outlay towards jewelry purchases in Q4. The company focused on customer communication, brand recall, and brand promotions. We also implemented strategic tactical offers connected to specific products, along with strengthening our ability across all mediums to target
out ended 2021-2022. First, I will read out the quarter numbers. Total income from operations 431.49 crores vis-a-vis 366.08 crores, YoY growth of about 18%. Gross profit 45 crores vis-a-vis 47.19 crores. Gross margins 10.44 vis-a-vis 12.89. EBITDA at 15.44 crores vis-a-vis 20.40 crores. PBT at 2.84 crores vis-a-vis 10.78 crores. And PAT at 2.43 crores vis-a-vis 8.60 crores. For the full year, the numbers are total income from operations 1843.84 crores vis-à-vis 1341.99 crores. Gross profit at 197 crores vis-à-vis 213 crores. Gross margins at 10.7 vis-à-vis 15.9. EBITDA at 72.35 crores vis-à-vis 120.97 crores. PBT at 22.88 crores vis-à-vis 59 crores. And PAT at 17.11 crores vis-à-vis 43 crores. We can now go ahead with the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ms. Sonali Rao from SR Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you.
Congratulations for the results, first of all. I want to understand how has been the contribution from the CULP production scheme in this quarter and also for the financial year 2022.
Right. So the CULP production scheme, which is our EMI-based savings scheme, has done pretty well in this entire year, and we have realized a sale of more than 130 crores from this scheme for the full year. Quarter sales also is in line with the overall number, about 30 odd crores being realized in this quarter. In terms of advances that we have received as EMI against CULP scheme, it will be more than 100 crores of advances, which have come in as by way of EMIs, which will mature eventually and will result in further sales in the forthcoming period, which is in this financial year. Usually, CULP scheme, when it matures and when there's a redemption which happens, there's an upselling which also happens. For example, if somebody's maturity amount is 1 lakh of rupees, it has been seen that mostly customers end up buying jewelry worth 1 lakh 30, 1 lakh 40, 1 lakh 50. So anything between 30 to 50% of upselling is also happening through the CULP plans.
Okay. I have one more question. So we are seeing the jewelry sector is consolidating now, especially after hallmarking being made compulsory. So just want to ask, how is the competitive intensity, especially post hallmarking being made compulsory? And also wanted to know the competitive intensity from all other brand players in the market.
Yeah. So yes, you are right. There is a lot of consolidation which is happening, and also the organized sector's share in the entire industry is increasing. So the percentage of organized share is currently a little above 30%. At one point of time, it was less than 10%. So obviously, the organized sector is growing pretty fast, and the unorganized sector is finding difficult to keep pace with the kind of growth because of various regulatory measures that have been implemented by the government. As you rightly mentioned, one of them, and a very significant one, is hallmarking, because hallmarking ensures that the customer gets the exactly what they are looking for, what they are paying for in terms of the purity. TVZ as a brand has been selling hallmark jewelry for ages now. Nothing new as far as TVZ is concerned in terms of hallmarking. But yes, it is a game changer for lots of unorganized players who were probably not really getting, you know, their jewelry hallmark, their gold hallmark, which they have to do mandatorily now. So it's a game changer. The competitive market or the competitive environment is extremely strong, extremely stiff, I would say. Lots of players in the market, several national brands vying for the market share, regional brands, and also strong mom and pop shops who have one or two stores in a particular city. But in those cities, they have, I would say a strong legacy or a loyalty of customers following them. So overall, the competitive spirit is very high, which is good for the industry because it brings out the best from every player and also the customer benefits in the long run.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harisha from HS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have some questions from my side. First of all, we saw the revenue for the full year and the quarter increasing. But however, we seen that there was a decline in margin. So if we can get the reason for that, that's my number one question. And secondly, how do you see the EBITDA margins and PAT margins panning out for the FY23? That's my second question.
Okay, thanks. Yes, you're right. The revenues have increased substantially, particularly for the full year. The margins have fallen to a certain extent. Both are correct. I'll tell you the reasons briefly. Firstly, coming to the gross profit margins, it is dependent on various factors. One, of course, is the gold price movements. The second is the product mix that a company sells. So, for example, TVZ, suppose it's having a gold and diamond product mix of, say, 75-25, 75 being gold and 25 being diamond. And suppose it changes to, say, 79-21 or 80-20 because of customer preferences of buying, which can sometimes change, you know, towards gold, gold being a safer haven. And having seen the kind of economic stress and strain that everybody has gone through, the natural tendency of every buyer is to lean towards gold in difficult circumstances compared to diamond. So when there's a shift in the product mix, it's a significant shift. Even a 1% shift in product mix is a significant shift. Why? The reason is that diamond GP margins are generally three times that of gold. So for example, if gold margins are on an approximate 10%, diamond's margins will be 30%. So this kind of shift, when it happens, it starts impacting the GP, although these are temporary, I would say, phenomenon. In the longer run, things even out, but in the quarter four and also to a certain extent in the full year, there has been a little bit of shift towards gold, more than what used to happen earlier. That is one reason, one important reason, I would say. The other is that the company, and in fact the entire industry, has just come out of a pandemic kind of a situation. I would not like to elaborate. Everybody knows what the entire world has gone through. And the focus of the company was to get back the customers into the fold. So the customers who were hitherto, you know, not sure of what's happening, there was a sense of, you know, maybe fear because of the, you know, the kind of infection that was spreading. Vaccination and every other step taken by the government helped. And finally, the customers were, you know, eager to come out and take care or, you know, cater to their pent-up demands. But the role that the company has played is to communicate effectively through their marketing campaigns, through their advertising, you know, efforts, bring back the customers. The old customers who have sort of shied away, they have started coming back. People who were not familiar with the brand, first-timers have started. So there's an increase in the first-time, customers that have come in to the stores. Overall, the the walk-ins have started improving. The focus was entirely on getting back the customers, a good conversion ratio, and high generation of revenue. So in this year, the greater focus was on that, and we have been able to achieve that to a great extent. Going forward, obviously, the focus will again be back on the margins. So that's one thing. Secondly, as far as EBITDA margins is concerned, there is a dip because the operating expense have increased in this year, or I would rather say that they have come back to the some kind of a normal kind of spends that used to happen earlier. The two major operating expenses that have gone up are manpower costs, primarily because there was the restoration of the entire full pay for all the employees, which was restricted during the COVID times, the increments that have been rolled out, and from a marketing and advertising perspective, there has been an increase of approximately 19 crores. Because as I said, the focus and the strategy of the company was to invest in marketing opportunities to bring back the customers, to communicate effectively, talk about best price, talk about the designs, the kind of range that we have. And I think we have been pretty successful in doing that. In terms of long-term EBITDA margins, I believe that we should be able to go back to the 5-6% level in a normal kind of scenario. 5-6% of EBITDA should be very much possible.
So you target 5-6% EBITDA margins by this current FY23?
Yeah, you asked about FY23.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And this would be by the higher EBITDA margins would be again being any strategy for achieving?
Yes, of course. There is a strategy behind everything. So basically, as I said, that we will be focusing on selling better and realizing greater margins from what we sell.
Mm.
So there will be a greater focus on studded jewelry, on antique jewelry, and also primarily on diamond jewelry, which, as I said, I just explained that it will yield greater margins.
Higher margin.
And of course, there will be a tight control on the cost now that we have understood what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. When we are coming out of a very unprecedented situation, going back to the normal situation, things will be relatively easier to monitor, and that way, pretty confident that the EBITDA margins will increase in the current financial year.
Oh, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello?
We have the next question from the line of Kritika Jain from SS Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. My first question is regarding our expansion plans in terms of our store expansion plans for FY23 and 24, and any idea on how many store additions we are targeting and in which geographies, and what kind of revenue are we targeting from those store additions?
Yes, sure. So, in fact, in terms of expansion, we are gearing up for the first store under the expansion plan, which should be coming up by the end of this month or by the first week of June. This will be, of course, in Greater Bombay area, a size of approximately 2,200 square feet, so medium-sized store, which is coming up as I said, very soon, shortly. And post that, we shall be looking at further expansions during the financial year. I'm talking about 22-23 now. So we are targeting about 5 to 6 stores overall in this financial year. We need to see when we will get to open them. It will obviously happen. The first one, as I said, is coming up. In terms of geographical regions, we are, you know, focusing on two kinds of regions. One is that where we are already present, areas where we are present, and where we think that there is a need for an additional store because the city itself would have grown, the population would have grown. People are reluctant to travel too much nowadays. They want everything at the doorstep. So, you know, there are opportunities to open more stores in existing cities. Also looking at one or two areas where we will be like entering the first timers in that city, because we think that the kind of gentry that is present, the population and the target audience or the target customers will be able to find a good sort of, I would say, aspirational purchase coming out from those cities. So these are the two kinds of geographical areas that we are looking at.
So, and what kind of revenue are we targeting from these additions?
Let's say a store which will be about 2,000 or 2,200 odd square feet, having an inventory of, say, around 25 to 30 crores, anything between 25 to 30 crores, we should be able to get, in the first year, we should be able to get about anything between 40 to 50 crores of revenue. Obviously, going forward, the revenue will start increasing because the inventory turns will improve. So this is a modest number that I'm talking about, maybe a conservative number, but it should be a little bit higher than that.
Okay, sir. And if you could give us any guidance on the CAPEX for the next 2 years, inclusive of our planned store expansions.
Yeah, so CAPEX is not really much. It's a small amount, simply because, you know, the stores that we open, let's say this store that I have been talking about will probably have a CAPEX of at max 1 crores. So let's say if it's a slightly larger store, 3,000 odd square feet, it may go up to 1.5 crores or maximum 2 crores. So if I'm opening 5 stores, it will be at max 10 crores for one financial year. In all probability, less than that, but let us say 10 crores.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Neha Sharma from Pearl Globe Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So could you please throw some light on the kind of sales you are generating from the online channel?
Yeah, fine. So we are present online, yes, but that's a very small percentage of our total revenues that we generate. It's a small number as of now. Obviously, we are trying to, you know, ensure that that number steadily increases. Efforts are being made to, you know, invest in those opportunities. But as of now, it's a very small number, not worth really mentioning. Perhaps by the end of this financial year or in going into 23-24, we should be able to talk a little more, I would say, in details about online revenues being generated.
Okay. And also, if it is possible, could you give the numbers for the quarter and full year?
Online?
Yes.
Oh, it's a very, really small number, ma'am. So, you know, not really anything much significant. Very small number.
Okay. Also, if you could let us know the margin.
No. So it's all jewelry. I mean, whatever is being sold in a brick and mortar store is what is available, not the entire range, obviously. So the margins are virtually the same.
Okay. So also, what are your plans for further expansion on online sales going ahead?
As I said, that we are looking into and we are investing in that opportunity. The company will, you know, shortly be getting ready to come up with its own platform. Earlier, we have been present on, you know, marketplace platforms like Flipkart and Amazon and Snapdeal, but now we have moved away from that and we are looking to have our own online platform.
Okay. And what kind of competition are you seeing in, for the online channel?
Competition, well, online as a jewelry, you know, opportunity, online sales is still, you know, in the fledgling stages of its, I would say, of its career, if I may say so. So, in fact, you would have seen that some of the online players who started 100% online are now coming back and opening physical stores. So there are a few brands which are relatively well known in the online space, and they are coming out and you know, establishing brick and mortar stores. So you know, I think online as a platform for jewelry sale needs to mature a little more in this country.
Okay. And last one thing I noticed, sir, from last 8 quarters we are seeing a diamond sale share has never crossed 30% margin. If you compare to our peers, it is not increasing that much. Could you throw some light on that?
Yeah, so a diamond sales margin at 30% average is a fairly healthy margin, I would say. It depends on what kind of the range of products that is being sold or is being offered to the customer. We believe that, you know, every customer will have a different kind of a budget, different kind of a preference for diamond purchases, and we would like to cater to that. Earlier, we have, you know, run campaigns on affordable diamond, which probably you would have noticed or you would have heard about. So the word speaks for itself, affordable. So what we have tried to do is that we have tried to increase our customer base. We have tried to make diamond jewelry more and more popular, and more, I would say, suited to the pockets of individuals. So that is something that we have tried to do. We believe that this strategy will ultimately pay greater results. The diamond market will mature. You know, the jewelry market for diamonds will mature further and further. And there will be a tendency of customers to, you know, check out the diamond jewelry. Nowadays, as you know, that still gold is a firm favorite. But once that change happens, even to a certain extent, it will help the company to generate greater revenues and greater margins.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Komal Arora from Global Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Hi, good evening. I've got two questions. Could you please elaborate on your plans for brand building and promotion going ahead? As we see in this quarter, you have invested in the same, and what kind of percentage of revenue you have targeted for this in the current fiscal FY23?
Yeah, right. So, you know, brand building and advertising activities and efforts is an ongoing process. They go hand in hand. Sometimes we are focusing on tactical campaigns or product-specific or region-specific campaigns. And sometimes we are doing activities to increase the brand visibility so that we reach out to new customers in the sense that we have new customers walk-ins. For example, this year we have seen an increase of new customer walk-ins by more than 10%. We are also at the same time looking at customers who were, you know, who were earlier with TVZ but probably have fallen away or maybe have gone into a dormant kind of a state. So they are called win-back customers, and there too we have seen an increase of more than a double-digit increase in terms of people coming back. So I think, as I was trying to say, that brand building and advertising activities go hand in hand. They complement each other. We have a celebrity who endorses our brand, who represents our brand, Sara Ali Khan. So I think she is also very popular with the, you know, younger generation, and she has made a mark for herself in representing the company's products and the various other offerings. So I think this is an activity which is worth investing in. We have actually, as I told earlier to someone who had asked a question, we have spent, you know, strategically increased our spend on brand building and advertising campaigns. So basically it's a communication which goes out to customers at various stages of their relationship with the company. Either they are, you know, trying to figure out whether they should relate to TVZ, come as the first-time customers, or they will continue to be the customers or come back. So all kinds of customers are targeted through various kinds of communication.
Okay. So can we call it one of the strategies to increase your market share in the coming years?
Yes, of course, yes. Yes.
So apart from this, one of the strategies, what are the other strategies you have in mind, sir?
So other means other brand building strategies?
Other than brand building
strategy, explaining a short while back that we are getting into an expansion mode gradually. So expansion mm-hmm. itself is getting into new areas where we are not present, and obviously we will target the customer base of those areas. It will expand our reach. It will, you know, it will help us penetrate deeper into markets wherein so far we may not have been present. That is one way of doing it, which we are going to do. The third is to increase the catchment area itself. So while we are located in a particular city, there is a surrounding area of say 100 to 150 odd kilometers, which we look into and we strategize and we plan for holding exhibitions in those cities, so that those people living there get a flavor of TBZ as a brand, and we try to attract the aspirational, you know, mode of somebody who wants to associate with a brand, instead of trying to always remain with the mom and pop shops. So these are the other activities or the efforts that are going into increasing market share.
Okay. And when TBZ plans to achieve double-digit ROC, basically I'm talking about return on capital employed.
Yes. Yeah, yes, of course. I mean the entire effort is, you know, is targeted towards that. It's difficult to say when exactly it's going to happen, but obviously we would want it to happen in this financial year itself.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of KMS Prasad, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Congratulations for the profitable quarter, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions. During the IPO, it was about 14 showrooms you have and a promise of 43 additional showrooms within 2 years. Till date, not even 50% of the additional showrooms were opened. And if the business is not so great, as you know, there are so many chains have come up. And where the problem is lying? Why this promise was not fulfilled till date?
Okay, sir, let me explain. Currently, we have 31 showrooms. We earlier, not so long back, we had more than 40 showrooms. So if you are talking about 14 showrooms, then we did expand to more than 40 showrooms. And the reason for, you know, climb back, which has happened in the last one and a half years, is only because of the COVID and the lockdown impacts that the company has gone through. Let me explain further. Several of our smaller showrooms were in the malls, and those mall showrooms were opened with a strategy in mind. However, when the COVID-19 spread across the country and the government imposed lockdowns, as you know, nationwide lockdowns, and that lockdown was there in place for a fairly long period of time, naturally one of the public places that was initially and completely locked down right from day one were the malls, because there was the fear of mass spread of COVID if people were thronging into malls. Hence the malls became inoperative and there was no way any business could have been generated from those malls. So it made a lot of eminent sense to close down those showrooms, because they were not going to help in any way and would just be, a wasteful spend. So I think the company took a very, very correct decision of closing those showrooms and waiting for an opportunity to probably go back and open them when the things are better placed. So a showroom getting closed is also a good strategy to have if it's not going to yield any results, or if it's not going to generate revenues or profits or margins. It makes sense not to keep on investing or, you know, spending on those stores. But it does not mean that it is gone forever. These are temporary measures that the company takes based on situations, and we can assure you that going forward, given the good opportunities, when the economy is already, you know, in opening up, although there are still some challenges which we are facing because of geopolitical reasons, but obviously everybody is very hopeful that, you know, good times will come back, and then you will surely see that we shall be expanding a little more rapidly. So that's what I wanted to explain to you.
Sir, I have one more question.
Yes.
From the IPO days in 2012, that is about 10 years now, gold price went up by about 3 times. And obviously the top line grows very well, but the IPO price is 120 rupees. And today there is an erosion of almost like 50% in terms of rupees, 64 rupees today's market price and versus 120 rupees of IPO price. And also if you consider the inflation, the shareholder value has become zero. Is it where the problem is lying, sir? Is it the performance, in the company performance, the problem is the business model or something else?
Right.
When the shareholder wealth is not improved, how an investor will show interest towards CBZ?
Right. I understand your question. So, sir, you know, this is something that the company is constantly working on. As you are aware, retail jewelry or gems and jewelry sector as a sector has been plagued or has had headwinds because of various reasons, ranging from regulatory changes, you know, some kind of political kind of, you know, changes which have happened because of certain other reasons, but unfortunately they have impacted the industry and the company to a certain extent. And finally, of course, the last 2 years, I need not say, because of the COVID and lockdown, there was an impact. But what I can assure you is that we have taken note of this, whatever you have mentioned just now, and we are working towards it, and we should be able to come up to your expectations sooner than later. There's no problem with the business model. This is the same business model that was there earlier, and it is also a very similar business model to some of the other players in the market. There obviously are some changes will happen from company to company, but on an overall basis, this is the business model which is being followed by several other companies. Some of them are doing reasonably well, some of them are doing okay, and some of them are not really performing well. So we have seen other companies who have fallen by the way, and we have seen companies who have been able to come out of the challenges that they have constantly faced. I think TVZ has been able to come out of those challenges, and yes, I mean, there's always scope for improvement, and we shall do that, and we shall be able to answer or rather live up to your expectations.
Thank you so much, sir. The power for my.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sonali Rawat from SR Financial Services. Please go ahead.
So my question is, as compared to rest of India, gold consumption in the south part is, you know, quite high, and we are not very much penetrated over there. So I want to understand if we have any plans, you know, to open shops or to have the business in that part of India.
Yes, that is true. The gold consumption is in south is the highest in India, in the southern region. So it's not that we are not present at all. We, in fact, have a few stores there. I'll just inform you. We have 2 stores in Hyderabad, in Panjagutta and Bashirbagh. We have 1 store in Vijayawada. We have 1 store in Cochin. We had a store in Bangalore, but as I said, you know, because of this COVID-related matter, we thought it better to, you know, close down that store. Anyway, it was not a very big store. Mm-hmm. Panjagutta, Bashirbagh, all these stores are doing very well. Panjagutta is one of the top 5 stores for TVZ. So our presence is very much there in the south, but yes, not to the extent of some of the other southern players. If we were to compare with Kalyan or Joyalukkas or Malabar or Thangamayil, they are south-centric players, and their inherent strength lies in, you know, the way they have begun from that region. So compared to that, yes, we are not that much present. In future, we shall always look at, we are in any case always looking at opportunities to open stores If we think that there is a city in the south or anywhere else, it doesn't matter where it may be, as long as it can, you know, cater to the customer's tastes and preferences and generate revenues and margins for us, we will be very keen to open a store in that region.
Sir, one more thing I want to know, how do you see the on-ground situation and the reality? So, you know, do you feel that in past COVID and all that scenario, is the market back to normal and are people, like, they're into buying luxury jewelry or they're still, you know, keeping it very much normal?
Okay, so I could not hear you very well, but I think I have understood what you want to know. Post-COVID, yes, the economy is on the rebound. It's gradually settling down. This year, in fact, 21-22 has been that kind of a year, barring the first quarter. The first quarter was badly affected because of the second wave and was virtually washed out. But from quarter two onwards, we are finding that there is some kind of normalcy coming back, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. Going forward into this first quarter of this financial year also, we see the same kind of trend. So yes, I think that, you know, people are coming back, the customer sentiments have improved. Again, of course, we were faced with a challenge because of the Ukraine-Russia war and prices shooting up, inflationary pressures all over the place. So these challenges are still there, existing as of now, continuing as of now. But hopefully, you know, there will be good measures and things will be, you know, improving. So in that sense, there is a pent-up demand which we are catering to. We can see, as I told you, that the walk-ins have improved, the revenue generation has improved, and the festivities that have just gone by, Akshaya Tritiya and earlier Gudi Padwa, we could see a lot of good traction happening. So I think going forward, this financial year should be economically better for the company.
Okay. Also, one more question I want to ask. So, you know, do you think, so first thing, do you think that the financial year 23 could be normal, you know, in terms of sale? In Delhi, the market, for example, travel and the... So, there's a revenge, you know, or travel and revenge buying kind of scene is going
on. Yes.
Yeah, in the jewelry sector as well?
Yeah, so I will not call it revenge, but there's a pent-up demand, I would say. There are lots of occasions which have unfortunately gone by in people's, you know, individual lives, weddings and many other such family occasions which could not be held because of government restrictions, and rightly so. But now that things are, you know, relatively better, I think normalcy will be seen in this year. And the demands are already being met. You know, we can see that the traction, the customer enthusiasm, or the interest in buying jewelry is coming back quite sharply, quite quickly, and we hope that, you know, it stays that way throughout the year.
Okay. And what kind of, you know, normalized inventory turnover you are targeting for the company in financial year 23?
So in terms of gold and diamond, you know, I will probably talk about blended turn, you know, inventory turn. So in that sense, an inventory turn of close to 2 or 2 blended, gold and diamond combined, should be a fairly good turn to have in this financial year.
Okay. By any chance, you can ask, like, when we are planning to go double-digit growth in terms of margins?
As I was explaining earlier, in terms of gross profit margins, we are already above the double-digit. Admittedly, as of now, the margins were a little lower in this quarter, but on an average, the margins have always, you know, been in the range of 13.5 to 14.5. Even we have seen margins of 15. In terms of EBITDA margins, I just explained that, you know, we are looking at around 5 to 6% range currently. You know, we should be able to make it higher as we go along. But for this financial year, I think 5 to 6% is what we are looking at.
Okay. And I have a bookkeeping question as well. So can you give me CS in damage for, you know, quarter and full year financial 2022?
Sorry, ma'am, I'm not able to hear your
Am I audible now?
Yeah, yes, but there's some kind of... What exactly is your question?
So my question, this is, you know, bookkeeping related question. Can you, could you give me a sales in grammage
for the quarter and the full year for financial year 2022 and also like year before that?
Sales in grammage will be, you know, difficult. Just now I don't have the data, but what I can tell you that there is a volume growth. So if you are looking at a volume growth, yes, we have registered a reasonably healthy volume growth of about 18% or so.
In financial year 2022 and in the year before that?
Year before that also there has been some volume growth, about 10 to 12% of volume growth has been there. Not year before that. Year before that was a COVID year, so obviously things were very exceptional. But I am referring to financial years like 18, 19 and to a certain extent 19, 20. 2021 was a very exceptional year, so you know there was no question of volume growth happening in that year.
And can you give me any idea for the coming year, for example, financial year 2023? Any idea for the grammage growth in 2023?
Yeah, so we are looking at a double-digit growth certainly for the year 2022-23.
Okay.
I will not be able to exactly spell out exactly how much will be the growth, but what we are targeting is a double-digit growth.
Double-digit growth.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone keypad. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone keypad. We have the next question from the line of Komal Arora from Global Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a question about this debt level we saw in Q4 and last year financial year. But the debt level has gone up on the back of increasing inventory levels. So if you can just give some guidance on what kind of normalized debt levels the company is targeting going forward.
Yes. So, yes, the debt levels have gone up primarily because we have strategically increased the inventory levels to the requirements of the stores, also to cater to the festivities, the big festivities, for example, Akshaya Tritiya. And thirdly, as I said, the expansion plans that are just round the corner. However, what you are looking at is a debt level on a reporting date. So as on 31st March, the debt level was, say, 500 odd crores. But if I look at the average debt level, then for the year, which is 21-22, the average debt level was a little more than 400 crores. So that way, there is no significant increase.
Okay, fine. I have another question because I couldn't find this gross margin breakup for studded and plain gold jewelry. And also, if you can talk about the EBITDA margins for both these segments separately.
Ma'am, gems and jewelry, we are in the retail jewelry space and it is treated as one segment. As per the accounting rules, it is not a segment-wise bifurcation. It is treated as just one segment, which is jewelry. So, in terms of gross margins, just to give you a flavor, gold gross margins can range anything between 10 to 12% approximately. Within that, plain gold jewelry has a slightly lower margin and studded gold jewelry will have a higher margin. Diamond jewelry, as I have already mentioned, will be in the range of anything between 30 to 35%.
Okay. Another, I don't know, still asking. Due to this geopolitical disturbances in COVID, do you feel that people are trusting jewelry as a better investment now?
To a certain extent, yes. Not fully, I would say, but yes, to a certain extent, the safe haven concept always comes into people's mind, particularly in case of gold. So whenever there is a crisis, any kind of crisis, which is like, you know, global kind of a crisis, then people tend to buy gold and treat it as an investment to safeguard for future, you know, eventualities.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Pushpa Mani for closing comments.
Hey Mike, thank you everyone for joining us today for this call. In case you have any further queries, you can get back to us on our coordinates provided in the investor presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Tribhuvan Das Bhimji Zaveri Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.